Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1% so you can transform and amplify your life today. I am honored to be able to have a great guest. I've had the privilege of meeting several different times over the last few months. He is an author, a speaker, and a social media entrepreneur. And in the spring of 2015, he quit his day job to pursue his dream of working for himself and went door-to-door selling. He is a man on a mission. He owns Cobbs Media, a social media management agency designed for entrepreneurs to stand out beyond 97% of everyone else on social media. He's also been featured in Entrepreneur Magazine, Social Media Examiner, The Huffington Post, and even named one of the top 30 entrepreneurs under the age of 30 by Influencive.com. He just barely released his first book, which debuted on the Amazon Top 100 of all books in the success category, which is awesome. His book is called Fish Out of Water. I'm excited to welcome Calvin Wayman to Making Bank.
Hey, brother. How's it going?
Awesome, man.
Glad to be here, Josh. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, for sure. We've connected off and on here over the last few months, and it's been cool to hear your story, what you have going on, and that's why I was just like, man, you'd be a perfect fit to talk about your message and how you've created your business and the challenges that you went through to get there.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what we can do to add value to people, and yeah, let's see what we can do.
Cool, man. Well, I guess tell me a little bit about what you were doing, I guess, when you just, you know, up to when you decided just, hey, I'm quitting my job, I'm going to go do this.
You know, to be honest, I wanted to always quit, you know, like I was like the regular dude, but wanted freedom, you know,
sure.
And I just knew that I couldn't get the absolute freedom I wanted being an entrepreneur by working the day job. And so I actually wanted to quit for a lot longer, but before I actually pulled the trigger. And I was just doing a sales job. I did it for 5 years. I was horrible at it at first, and then became like a sales agent and a trainer to other people. And so, yeah, that's what I was doing. It was a great gig. A lot of people would kill for the position, but it wasn't my own thing. So one day I just got to a point where I was like, enough is enough, and I quit.
And so I guess, you know, what happened at that point in time when you actually took action, where the other times you're like, I want to, but you never took that action.
Like, what made me actually push and actually do it?
Yeah, I mean, what was that transformation or that push?
It's an important question, because I think a lot of people talk about the positivity of having a why and let that be bigger than your fear, because I had so much fear that kept me there. But what got me to actually push through? And it wasn't actually positivity necessarily.
Sure.
Positivity got me started, and then I would do like side hustles, but then I would end up reverting back.
Okay.
And not actually quitting. And the thing that actually pushed me, interestingly enough, was a bigger negative or a bigger fear that swallowed the smaller fears I was feeling. So one day I was just like, what happens if I don't go after my dreams? I want to, and I want to have freedom, but what happens, what if I wake up 10 years down the road and nothing has changed? Or worse, and this is really what scared the hell out of me, the thought that the desire or the fire that I had inside of me dying, and I don't give a shit about being an employee anymore. I think it's awesome, and I give up
right on
desire to go after things. The thought of that happening is what scared me enough to light a fire under my butt and say, you know what? I can't let that happen. That's just a horrible thought. I'm just going to quit. And so I did. Before I even knew what I was going to do next, I quit.
And sometimes that's the best way.
Yeah, that's what I found. Because I would always be like, well, I got to get something set up and ready. And I never did anything. And I think we do that all the time. We want everything laid out. But that usually just keeps us frozen. And I didn't know step two, but I knew step one, and step one was quit.
Right. And you know, and I know you mentioned that you had started along the way some different side hustles, but you kept reverting mm-hmm. back.
Yeah. And that kind of I tricked my mind thinking that I was progressing when really I wasn't. You know what I mean?
Like right.
I would dabble with different things. I was actually pretty deep into the network marketing space.
Okay.
And I love the industry. It did a ton for me, and I love what it's done for other people that I know. But I never devoted enough time to it to make it blow up because I was doing my day-to-day thing too.
Right.
And then luckily, the month before I quit my job, the company that I was having the most success with went bankrupt. Oh. and went out of business. And so it didn't – all of the things that looked like I was progressing or looked like I was having a little success, like, just went away. So I was really faced with myself during that time period, which was painful and awesome at the same time.
Yeah. So I guess, so you quit, and then what did you end up, and you said you started door-to-door selling, what did you end up starting to do?
Yeah. So I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. And so the first day I quit, I remember it felt amazing. I was like, yes, that felt so good. Then I woke up the next day, and I had a wife, still do. I had a wife and a 1-year-old son.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I got to make money. How am I going to do it? And I just made a commitment to myself that whatever the business was, it had to be 100% my own thing, and I had to be totally behind it. So I first went to a bunch of different network marketing leaders and checked out their companies.
Sure.
And was like, maybe that's what I was going to do. But it had to be something that I would have done even if I didn't get paid for – if I didn't get paid for it.
Right.
And there was two men – there was just like the 1 or 2% of the business that I didn't love. And so I was like, I'm not going to do it. So what ultimately happened is I was like, okay, while I'm figuring it out, I at least want to increase my skill level and like do something that would really challenge me that I know will help me in my entrepreneurial journey. So that's why I got into door-to-door sales. I left Utah and went to Southern California. And I had a mentor that told me a couple years ago that if you could do door-to-door, you could do pretty much anything.
Yeah.
And if you did 4 months of door-to-door, it's like a four-year – it's the equivalent right. of like a four-year business degree, right? And so I was like, okay, that's what I'll do. And so – that's what got me into the door-to-door thing. It was not – I was not necessarily passionate about solar. That's what I sold. But I was passionate about like shaking off any of the residual employee mentality or crap that I might have had over the years of being an employee. And I'll just say it cured me really, really fast. It did not take long before I was not an employee anymore. So yeah, that's what got me into the solar thing.
Well, awesome. And what I guess as you're selling the solar door-to-door – I mean, how did you kind of make that whole transition to what you're doing today? I mean, was there kind of a progression or?
The biggest thing that happened, so as I was doing my door-to-door stuff, the most painful experience in so many ways, I would not even, in the beginning especially, I would not wish it on my worst enemy. And at the same time, I'm recommending it to anybody listening to this because it's such a great experience overall. I was looking for what I should do, what I should create, and I ended up going to different events and getting around entrepreneurs like yourself, like Russell Brunson, like Lewis Howes, like Gary Vaynerchuk, all these people. For the first time, I started to get around them and be immersed in it because I would see them from afar.
Sure.
But there was this big disconnect. And so when I started getting around people that were entrepreneurial, things started to change in me. And I felt like home. I was at home for the first time. And to make a long story short, what I ended up doing is I went to an event. Nick Unsworth.
Yes.
He's Life on Fire. Mm-hmm. So
Ding.
I went to his event and I was like, you know what? I'm finally around people that get it and I need to get deeper into this entrepreneurial circle. So I ended up hiring him as my business coach because
awesome.
That's what he did. And that really is what just helped me get in the game because I put skin in the game. It showed the work myself that I was serious to make the biggest investment that was like two cars for me, worth, like that's what it was like. And it just made a commitment to myself and to the universe that I'm serious about this entrepreneur thing. And by working with him, I ended up getting into Periscope was the first thing.
Okay.
It was, the social media,
yep.
the live streaming app. And from there, as it progressed, I started to to understand myself why I liked Periscope, and it was because it was new. It was cutting edge, and that's what I liked. I like to discover new things, and I like to be on the front of what's happening. And I didn't know anything that was better than that than social media, because it was always changing. There's new platforms coming out, and it's on the front edge of how to market today.
Sure.
And so in January this year is when I kind of transitioned from the Periscope business that I started, which was my first real business. It's where I got my first ever email opt-ins, created my first product through Periscope, started teaching on Periscope, got into Entrepreneur Magazine because of Periscope. And then in January, I transitioned from just that platform to I'm doing social media as a whole. And then I started Cobbs Media, and it's just been a wild ride since.
Awesome, man. So when I made a couple notes while you were chatting here, was a couple key points that you really mentioned, I think are really awesome, is, you know, surrounding yourself with other entrepreneurs. So surrounding yourself with people that you want to be, you know.
Yes.
And I think that is very important. And so many of us, we get in a position where we're like, oh, we want to go do this, but we don't know how, or we just keep putting it off. And I think that was one of the important things that you mentioned there.
That is so important, dude, because I didn't realize how important it was until I got into it. What I've realized is you and I and people listening to this, as entrepreneurs, we're in the minority. Most people, even maybe our friends and family,
sure,
they may not get us in the way we think, right? And I don't know if we realize how much that can play a role in this success that we have. And just hanging around other people and having conversations, and then and just being around people that get you, and you are and you can emulate and learn from them, I think it can't be overstated. So I'm glad you picked up on that and pointed it out. It's definitely worth emphasizing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, everybody you're listening, you've heard me talk about plenty of times, is surrounding yourself, you know, with the right people, surrounding yourself with the people where you want to go. And then the other thing is, you know, hiring a mentor and coach. So many people put that off, or just, nah, it's too expensive. Like you said, it was like two cars for you.
Yeah, it was. That's the first time I put it that way, and that makes a lot of sense, because it was like two cars. But here's the thing that's interesting for anybody that might be afraid of the investment thing. Last year, 2015, I was in the deepest debt I've ever been in my entire adult life, especially because of the investment. I had moved from Utah to Southern California, which meant three times the amount of rent. I still had car loans. I had some student loans. I had credit card debt, and I made that investment. So deepest debt I've ever had in my entire life. But this year, in 2016, on the first day of spring, I became officially debt-free for the first time in my entire adult life. And so I think it speaks to when you invest in yourself and you put yourself out there, then it comes back. So if you ever have a chance to invest in yourself in a mentor or anything like that to get around other people, I think it could be a massive benefit for you.
Definitely so. So tell me a little bit about you recently made a move too. You got this whole kind of experiment thing that you're doing, I remember talking about.
Yeah, so I moved now from Southern California to this small town in Arizona. And so somebody was just asking me this yesterday. They're like, you left San Diego? What are you thinking? It's beautiful there. The weather's awesome. And it's kind of a weird reason, but it's kind of just my way of putting myself in uncomfortable situations to grow. Sure. It's kind of the same reason why I left Utah to go do door-to-door, because I know that if I could do that, then I can do a lot. Like, that can help me a lot in my entrepreneurship. And so I left Southern California, and the amazing just the environment and all the people I can go meet, like the customers that I could go to, because one goal that I have with my business – and that I've always had — is I wanted to have a business that can be completely independent of location. So as long as I have an internet connection and a cell phone, I'm good. I can do it anywhere. So what I did is I decided to move to this super small town in northern Arizona. It's called Mojave. You probably have never even heard of it. It's kind of on the way to the Grand Canyon. But I moved to this super small town to force me to do that. because that's all I have. Sure. There's not a bunch of businesses around me. If I picked up my camera and showed you, it's like sagebrush and my red rock backdrop mountains, which looks awesome. I love it. And I can go hiking and it's quiet and stuff like that.
That's cool.
But it's just and I still travel and still get around. But in my day to day, week to week, there's no distractions. And it's forcing me to do what I need to do, like get my business to a point where it's just internet connection and cell phone, which is what I'm doing now.
And I know along the way, I think you just came out with a book recently as well. So
yes, Fish Out of Water. And that probably couldn't have happened, honestly, if I was living in a louder space. It, being able to be here and like quiet everything down and just have zero distractions really helped that come to fruition.
No, that's awesome. I mean, tell us a little bit about what's the book about, and I'd love to
So the book's called Fish Out of Water, and Fish Out of Water is something that I think, especially as entrepreneurs, we all hit. We all go through. Sure. We feel like a fish out of water at different points in our life, especially when we're looking to level up. And it's a soft spot for me because when I first got into sales, I felt like a fish out of water. When I quit my day job, I felt like a fish out of water. When I started to get better in my health and go from being 40 pounds heavier than I am now to being kind of a healthier person, it felt awkward. I felt like a fish out of water. And I wanted to write this book because when people are looking to level up their life, there's a ton of books on goal setting that's sure. like, here you are and this is how to get there. But they ignore this period in the middle that I call where you feel like a fish out of water, right? And we know it's there. Everybody sets a New Year's resolution. They get excited. And then February rolls around and we know what happens, right? They quit.
Yeah.
Why do they quit? My belief is it's because they get to this point where it feels weird, doesn't feel normal. You feel out of your element. You feel like a fish out of water. And the tragedy is since you're out of your element and it feels so awkward, people end up wanting to revert back to what does feel normal and feels comfortable.
Right.
And the downside to that is if you're going to what feels comfortable, you're in your comfort zone and you're not growing and you're staying still. So what the whole book is about is, first of all, it's normal. You're going to hit this stage where you're a fish out of water. But what should you do? What can you do to break through that fish out of water stage to completely transform into the new you and create a new standard for yourself? So that's the overview of what it's designed to do. Hit this stage, but break through. And once you break through, you create a new normal. Like right. Entrepreneurship is becoming normal. Being a business person is normal. Being the more fit self is normal, following the principles that's outlined in the book.
No, that's awesome. And I mean, just over the last 8 to 10 months, you had so many just huge those transitions of, that uh-huh. next level and that next level by pushing yourself outside that comfort zone, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I found that that's kind of accelerates it. And I'm doing something crazy even next week. Tomorrow I'm running a Spartan race in California. And it's crazy to think about this because when I first made the goal to run a Spartan race, it was at the beginning of 2015. I've never done anything crazy like that before. And it was like this big, crazy thing. Yeah. Tomorrow, I'm running a Spartan race as a warm-up to what I'm doing next week, because next week I'm running a 50-mile ultramarathon.
Oh,
I haven't even run a marathon before, but I'm just all about pushing me and seeing what comes from it, because I think it makes things move faster when you do that. We'll see how it goes.
No, man, that's phenomenal. I've done several marathons and a ton of halves, and so it's never a 50, so that would be a pretty sweet deal. So
yeah, we'll see how much of the 50 I can chew. We'll see.
and you know even this, I know even with the last 4 or 5 miles for me on just the actual marathon, the very first time was all mental. I mean, because you feel like you're breaking down, let alone 50 miles you're gonna feel that 2x.
Yeah, I am so interested to see what the hell my body is going to do and what my mind's going to do when I get to that edge, because I ran 25 miles a couple weekends ago to kind of warm up. That's a lot, but it's only half.
You're right.
And I was dead in the last 5 miles. And so I am just so interested to see what my body and mind is thinking when I get to the 25 point and realize I have to do this a freaking again. Like, yeah. We'll see. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what comes from it.
Well, you know, it was kind of cool and crazy for me is I remember stopping for a minute, rehydrating and stuff. And I was kind of sitting there. I was like, man, you're thinking in your head, like, oh, I want to give up. And I happened to see this guy, he probably was in his 80s, and he just comes shuffling by. And I'm like watching, I'm like, man, if he's going to keep going, I have to keep going.
That's super powerful, right? So he didn't like zoom by, but he was like,
he just kept moving.
That's a good way to put it. So that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Like any step, little steps is better than nothing, better than no steps, right? So that's the mindset that I've got to keep with it. Just another step.
Whether it's walking, whether it's shuffling, yeah. Whatever it is. And that's the same thing with entrepreneurship and business or anything that you do. Is taking that next step, which is what you've done to 100%. Now be where you are today.
100%. That's what it's all about. Because we think, I talk about this in my book a little bit, and we talked about it at the beginning of this. In entrepreneurship, I think we, even before entrepreneurship, we want to know all the steps lined out before we get started.
Right.
Life is not that way. Entrepreneurship is not that way. You don't really always know. But I think what is that you do know, if you just get honest with yourself, is you know your next step. You know your next best guess even. And right. That's enough. You can't plan every step to win a chess game. You know, you can have a strategy, but there's too many unknown variables. So you have to see where you're at, what you have, what position you're in, and then just adjust and make your next chess move based on what's in front of you. So
cool, man. Well, so you busted through multiple comfort zones, barriers, things like that, and challenges that you've had. What, you know, maybe what are like two or three ways that you've found that have worked really successful for you?
Like how to get myself to do it or to actually break through and do something that might be uncomfortable. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. So you've pushed yourself outside of your comfort zone many a times where
yes.
That seems to be the holdup of people taking action. Because they start
yes.
to feel a little bit of that pain, or they start to feel, oh, mm-hmm. I'm starting to diet and I'm hungry more often than not, and they just
yeah.
don't keep going with it.
Yes. So there's three main things that I talk about in my book that I think is almost like cheating. If you get all three of these lined up, you will level up. You just freaking will. The first main principle that's worked for me is I call it you got to become a CIA agent. And I don't mean part of the Secret Service. It's just a play on words. Consistent, imperfect action. Okay? So I think what gets caught up in our heads a lot is we think things have to be done pretty or perfect. Sloppy is better than nothing. You know?
Right.
Like, I used to struggle so much with my health, with exercising consistently. I would go to the gym, and then after a month or two, I'd fall off the wagon. And I realized that sloppy consistency is better than perfect spotly, like just here and there. And so I made a goal I was going to work out every day for 90 days. That was the thing. And that would have been massive for me. And the thing that I did is I focused on, you know what, I'm going to do it in home, get rid of any of the distractions. And my goal was to push play on my DVD player. Super simple trigger.
Right.
My whole goal for 90 days is to push play. It doesn't matter if I do the workout perfectly, if I do it sloppily, or if it's like – if it doesn't matter how bad I do it, as long as I do it.
Right.
And when I did that, I developed that consistency, and now I've worked out 2 years in a row for every single day for 2 years. And that, I think, is the first key when it comes to doing something uncomfortable is give yourself permission to do it sloppily. There's the quote that if something's worth doing, it's worth doing well. I say screw that. If something's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly, you know?
Right.
And give yourself permission to just get in there and to mess up. Because if you mess up and you get into it, chances are when you do it a second time, you're going to get better. And you do it a third time, you're going to get better. Do it a fourth time, you're going to get better. So that's big for me. That's what's helped me push out quite a bit is just deciding to do it and not having any attachment on what it looks like or what the outcome is. Just effing do it.
And that's great. I think like you said, we overcomplicate it, and you know, it's by simplifying it and making it as simple as pressing play on your DVD player.
Yeah.
Is that next step, that action?
Yeah, and the other two things that really help I call it number 3 in the book. I don't want to go too deep into it, but it's like helping your mindset of successful people that are always there. And I have an acronym I call SWIM, okay. Like the sharks. It's how you view success, how you use your words, because your words affect your psychology. Improve, successful people are always improving, and measure, because you don't know if you're winning if you don't measure. But the one that I think is massive that we already touched on a little bit that has also helped me push outside my comfort zone in many ways, I say get schooled. And what I mean by get schooled, since it's a book about called Fish Out of Water, right. Just like fish, when they're in schools, they're moving in a similar direction, right? When I'm saying get schooled, get around other people that are moving in that direction that you want to go.
Sure.
And that has been so, so powerful. Like this – I'm running this 50-mile race, but what's really helped me is hanging out with a guy that does 100-mile races.
Yeah.
You know, every single year he runs a freaking 100-mile race. He doesn't always finish, but having conversations with him is what helps me think the crazy idea, holy shit, maybe I can do that. Maybe right. I can do 50. I can do half of what you can do. And he's like 45, you know, or 50, and he's doing that, and I'm in my 20s. So I'd be like, okay, I have to believe I can do that. So I think highlighting those two, can do it imperfectly, consistent imperfect action,
right,
and getting around other people that are doing it too or moving in a similar direction or are a mentor that has already done it is just like such a big way to push through that barrier when you're coming up against your comfort zone.
Cool, man. That's some awesome, awesome insights, and I appreciate you sharing those today.
My pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, where we can find more about you, your book, everything.
Absolutely. So I'm doing social media, I'd love to give a gift to the audience if I can.
Sure.
I'm giving away a social media makeover. What that is me or somebody on my team, especially me for the people that that come on the calendar first. This is extremely hands-on, but I just love it because of the impact it makes. So we're going to totally make over your profile on Facebook or Instagram and just help you just freaking stand out. So if you want to get that, I have a limited number of spots. So you can get it at socialmediamakeover.org. So you can get on the calendar, socialmediamakeover.org, totally free, no strings attached to that. And then anywhere else you can find me is just Calvin Wayman, pretty much everywhere. You can search calvinwayman.com. You'll find my book there.
Okay.
Or you can go Facebook, Calvin Wayman, Instagram, Calvin Wayman, or on Snapchat at Calvin Wayman.
Cool, man. And last question. Since you are social media and technology online, what's like your best piece of technology that you can't live without?
Technology or platform, because I can't live without my cell phone for sure.
Technology and or platform, whatever you want.
The platform both. That I use the most is Facebook.
Okay.
I love Snapchat. I play with Instagram quite often. I'm always into the new things, but since I'm a big believer in the 80-20 rule, I have the biggest impact on Facebook, no question.
Sweet. Well, Calvin, it's been an honor, and I really appreciate your time today and sharing all the different ideas and thoughts and your story, you know, with the audience here at Making Bank. And again, thanks for your time.
Josh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on, and I hope everybody just gets out there, hustles, and takes that next step to level up their life and live their dreams.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.